It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 129 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. In anticipation for second edition launching mid-September, Tim and I have been building some lists now that points have been released, and we thought we'd share some of our early second edition lists with you today.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting time to be building new lists because we have really no idea of what that metagame is going to be initially. So we're kind of just making our best guess at what mechanics are going to be the most prevalent in second edition when it launches on September 13th. So maybe we'll be very accurate and have a good feel for things, or maybe these lists will be embarrassingly inaccurate. Either way, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think all of my lists seem fun to fly.
Hopefully it's at least a pretty good starting point, you know, at least for us and maybe some of you out there who are not quite sure what you want to fly when second edition drops in just a few weeks here.
All right, now, before we get into our second edition list, we have some housekeeping. Every year, per Radio TCX tradition, we give shout-outs to store champion winners.
Yeah, and normally we drop these at the end of each show, but we had, you know, since we had a very special store championship winner this week, we felt we'd start the show off by talking about these Radio TCX Store Championship winners.
Sure. All right, Tim. Well, you can go ahead and read the first name.
The first name is Carson Rye? Carson Ray? I don't know. He's some guy from Colorado. But Carson Ray won the Board Fox Games Store Championship in Grand Junction, Colorado. And he was running a really sweet and innovative dual Lancer-class pursuit craft list, Asajj and Ketsu, I believe.
Yeah, same list I've been running for regionals and stuff.
Now, was this a meta call, or did you... What were you feeling about running the double caster?
Well, it was both a lazy call, because I've been just... My mind's been on second edition and wanted to just pick up a first edition list that I knew how to fly. But also, I felt, you know, with the success of Imperials with the TIE Reapers, that the control double Shadowcasters would have some play there.
You didn't have too much trouble with, like, jams and whatnot, taking down your action efficiency?
Well, you know, I did have four copies of Glitter Stim, which is an action that jam can't take away, and Asajj's slash Latz's pilot ability also can't be jammed. But jam was still kind of annoying. I feel like the Reaper was the most difficult ship to deal with when I played against Imperials, not the Aces. Those went away quickly. It was the Reaper that was annoying.
It's going to be real interesting, too, because jam's kind of a core mechanic now in second edition. There's multiple ships that have that function, so it's going to be interesting to see how that impacts the way X-Wing can be played, because like action efficiency is already down in second edition, so having ships out there with jam, that could really change the way the game functions.
Absolutely. But overall, you know, I had a great, fun store championship. A lot of really fun players there out in Grand Junction. And, you know, it was only 2 hours away. I was happy to find some other X-Wing players out in Western Colorado. So that was great.
Yeah, so if you're in the Grand Junction area, be sure to check out Board Fox Games.
We also want to give a shout out to Paul Atienza, who won the Junction Games store championship in Rockland, California. Paul was flying the fun Captain Jostero, Captain Nim, and Tarani Kolda, you know, super missile aggro list, and was able to take that all the way to the win.
Yeah, so congratulations, Paul, on winning that store championship. We also had Trevor Betts win the SoCal Games and Comics in Temecula, California store championship. He was flying two Cavern Angel Zealots with Crackshot, two A-Wings with Snapshot and Crackshot, along with AP-5 in that Sheathapede class shuttle.
Now, Trevor, I see what you're doing here, trying to make us read a Back to Dials list here on Radio TCX. Not fooled, but congratulations.
And this is this is an interesting list you can still run. I like this list composition. We saw a 4 X-Wing and AP-5 list do really well at Gen Con, so this is kind of a variant on there. I love seeing A-Wings on the table, though, especially since those have had kind of a rough go in first edition X-Wing. Hopefully they'll have a better time in second edition. But that's a, you know, pretty solid list there to win a store championship with.
We also want to give a shout out to Ernest Pacius. And Tim lost the record of what list he was flying, but I'm sure it was just a super innovative meta-defining list. So congratulations, Ernest.
I think it was Ghost Fed. I also forgot. I can't remember what Storage Champ he won now. I'm totally blanking right now. Ernest is
Ghost
Fen.
No one does that. Wow. Congratulations, Ernest.
He's going to become a Minnesota player now, though. That's exciting. So we get to take Ernest as a TCXer.
That's the real win.
We traded you for Ernest. It's great.
I think he traded up there.
All right, now we're moving into talking about some new list building. Specifically, I'd like to spend the next 40 minutes talking about my new favorite second edition upgrade card, Squad Leader. Go ahead, Carson. Get us started on that.
I think you pronounced Perceptive Copilot way wrong there. But yeah, so
you're right.
We're gonna
that
cover...
actually is my favorite.
Yeah, so we're going to cover four lists here, and these are all going to be including the conversion kit contents.
Yeah, we're thinking about talking about wave one only content maybe in the next couple weeks here. We're just gonna verify what all that is. It's kind of confusing when you have the conversion kits to try and figure out, okay, what exactly is only available in wave one. But for these are
we
all
need
just
that
app. Materials from the conversion kits. Yeah, we do need that app. Hopefully it'll launch on launch day. That's my real hope at this point. Otherwise, we'll just be using those threat cards for a while.
All right. So one of the reasons I was really happy I made it out to a store championship finally was to get some copies of the Juke upgrade card, which I think is going to be really great in second edition on the right ships. And so I built a two defender list using that Juke upgrade card. So I think, you know, the defenders are going to be just so great for that Juke upgrade card. I mean, the X7 title in first edition worked great with the Juke upgrade card, and that full throttle ship ability. After you fully execute a speed 3-5 maneuver, you may perform an evade action. You know, get that evade token, then you can still take a regular action. So you can have double token modifiers for either offense, you know, have a focus or target lock, and then juke their attack as well. Or still have focus and evade on defense, but still getting some damage output with that juke. These are 7 hit point ships that really appreciate heavy token modification.
Yeah, and Juke is essentially the same as it was in first edition and second edition. If you have an evade token, you can change one of your opponent's evade results into a focus result. So either basically force them to spend a focus if they have it, or if they don't have a focus, you can diminish their defense, which is really effective. TIE defenders are substantially different in second edition too. I mean, you still got that really beefy stat line. They've got 3 primary, 3 agility, 3 hull, and now an extra shield, so 4 shields. All their straight maneuvers are blue, and they are incredibly expensive because they are a solid chassis that has pretty much all 5 of what you call the core actions, right?
Yeah, I mean, they got focus, evade, target lock, barrel roll, and boost, all white, and then they're getting an evade token when they take any speed 3, 4, or 5 maneuver, which are usually their best maneuvers.
And that's actually huge, right? Because there's not really a lot of, outside of linked actions on ships, we don't see a lot of push the limit type mechanics where you're getting multiple actions in a turn. So that's much more of a rarity we see in this game. So having that built into their chassis with that ship ability, I think gives them a pretty big advantage, especially if they can combine that action efficiency with upgrade cards like Juke, which really, you know, kind of give you basically the value of 2 actions from a single action.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, you can take just the generics. Yeah, I think just the generic Initiative 4 Defender with Juke or any of the other named Defenders with just Juke as the upgrade are pretty solid. But at the point where you've taken 2 Defenders, you really don't have any room for any other ships, so you might as well throw on some other upgrades.
Well, you literally can't fit 3 Defenders in one 200-point list. Like, I think the baseline is like 72 points or something for the low end there. So you literally cannot fit more than 2 Defenders in a list. And then by the time you've even moderately loaded these ships out, yeah, you really don't have any space for what may be a TIE fighter sometimes.
Right. I mean, and so you could modify this and, you know, have a generic Defender in here and then still have room for a TIE fighter. But I really like a lot of these named Defenders. I mean, Colonel Vessery, the most expensive defender at Initiative 4, still has his same great pilot ability that really appreciates the value that Juke provides on offense.
Yeah, Vessery's ability is, while you perform an attack against a locked ship, meaning a ship you have a target lock on, after you roll attack dice, you may acquire a lock on the defender. and you're actually going to be able to spend that lock right away.
Right. So you can, you know, use your full throttle, get an evade token, then take a focus action. And then if your other ship target locks the ship Vessery wants to target, then Vessery is going to have evade, focus, and target lock for offense. Pretty solid.
Well, and we have Rexler Breath, too, who's got a brand new pilot ability for second edition. Rexler comes in at initiative 5, so it's way up there on the high end of initiatives. And Rexler's ability, after you perform an attack that hits, if you are evading, which means you have an evade token, expose one of the defender's damage cards. So you get to flip one of those damage cards up if you have an evade token. So you're getting like crazy value out of your evade tokens. You get them basically for free when you use that full throttle ship ability. Juke lets you use it as an offensive modification. And then Rexler lets you use it to start flipping face up your opponent's damage cards.
And I think Rexler, you know, might be the standout TIE Defender pilot, mainly because he's the cheapest of the named defenders now. And he's at the highest initiative. And I really like that ability of, you know, getting some extra critical damage basically without working that hard. In first edition, you had to work really hard to get Rexler's ability to trigger. Now you're going to have an evade token at initiative 5. That means usually you haven't been shot at by the time you're attacking. And, you know, that new damage deck, there's quite some powerful crits you want to deal out.
Well, and I really love how, like, straight up simple the loadouts are on both of your defenders here. Obviously, you've got Juke there. You've got the fire control system, so if the other ship's target locked, you can just reroll a single die and not need to spend that target lock. And then you've got that heavy laser cannon on there, too, which is really inexpensive in second edition compared to first, but it only works in that bullseye firing arc. So you're only getting the 4 attack dice when they're in the bullseye and you're using the cannon. But still, if you line that up, just getting the extra attack dice, since the mods are a lot rarer in second edition so far, getting that extra attack die is huge.
Right. And I think, you know, if you do line a ship up, the defenders are pretty great at keeping them there. You have all these great straight maneuvers and K-turns to just, once you lock in on a ship, to they're going to have to start running away, or you can line up those bullseye arcs continuously. I'm not in love with fire control system on the defenders, but, you know, for 3 points, you can't go too wrong. And advanced sensors doesn't work great with full throttle.
Yeah, advanced sensors, when you can perform that action before you move, is cool, but then you can't perform any other actions that round, so you kind of negate your own ship ability.
Which is fine. That's good game design. I was just trying to break it.
And beyond that, honestly, for the sensor slot right now, you really don't have that many great choices. I think for the price you're paying, fire control still seems like the best value for that slot.
Yeah, and things could change and better missiles could come out and make that better than the cannons. Or hopefully better cannons come out and you can upgrade over those heavy laser cannons.
Though I think you made the right choice here, opting for the heavy laser cannon over a missile, because you're playing for like the long-term play there, right? You're expecting, since you only have these 2 defenders, you're expecting them to last. So you're hoping that you're going to be triggering this heavy laser cannon multiple times throughout a game and not just like a missile that you'll get a couple uses out of.
Right.
Well, now we got to talk about one of the lists I want to play. So I got really inspired by those first couple threat cards I used in my first game of second edition, before it was the Boba Fett threat card with 2 of the Skull Squadron threats, which was just a Skull Squadron with Fearlessness. And I had a really fun time with that. I wasn't huge on the Boba Fett loadout. I thought I could use a little alteration. So kind of based on what my impression of second edition is so far, I opted to load Boba Fett out with the Marauder title, which gives you a gunnery slot, and it also lets you reroll 1 attack die when you're shooting out your auxiliary firing arc. I used the Han Solo gunner from the Lando's Millennium Falcon expansion. That's where, when you engage, you can perform a red focus action. I've got Perceptive Copilot on there, which when you perform a focus action, you get to assign an additional focus token. And then I've got Lone Wolf on there, too, where you have that single regenerating charge. If there's no friendly ship at range 0 to 2 of you, you can reroll 1 die on offense or defense. And I've paired this up with a Skull Squadron, just as it was on the threat card. Skull Squadron pilot, initiative 4, Fang Fighter, which has just the Fearlessness upgrade card on there. So when you're attacking, if you're in your opponent's firing arc, and they're in your firing arc at range 1, you can change 1 of your die result into a hit. And then to cap this all off, I've got just that simple initiative 1 Y-Wing, the Crimora Goon, loaded out with proton torpedoes and a dorsal turret.
I think this is really funny what you've done with Boba Fett here. You know, his pilot ability, getting rerolls for each ship at range 1, is really solid and really good modification. And then you've decided to really just double down on those rerolls. You want rerolls even when you're not at range 1. So you got the Marauder giving you a reroll out of the auxiliary firing arc, and Lone Wolf giving you extra rerolls when nobody's close, which I'm hoping the way you fly that will be kind of every turn, or at least most turns.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, Boba's coming in really expensive here, half the list, 101 points, so he's very much the centerpiece of this list. And what I like about the synergy is, looking at second edition, it's tougher to get good action economy, to get multiple actions in a turn. Boba's got some crazy potential here with the combination of these upgrades. I mean, Perceptive Copilot comes in at 10 points, and it's a pretty effective way to boost your action economy. Getting two focus tokens is great, offense or defense. I like the ability, though, to combine that with that Han Solo, so I have some options where I can take a different action as my normal action, either a target lock if I'm not in that range one zone to get Boba's ability yet, or I can even take a boost if I'm getting close there and I want to start triggering Boba Fett's rerolls with all those enemies at range one. Well, I can take that action, target lock or boost, and then when I engage with Boba, who's engaging at initiative five, so it's going to be on the higher end, I can use that Han Solo gunner ability to take that red focus action. And then since I have Perceptive Copilot, I'll get two focus tokens from that.
Yeah, I think that's really solid. I mean, you've really doubled down on that one powerful focus action, and you're, you know, turning it into basically a linked action with Han. But, you know, when you have all those rerolls, that's what you really need, is some focuses to modify the dice you rerolled. And, you know, what I really like about the fire spray, I mean, you have 3 attack dice, 2 agility, and 10 hit points. So this ship can really appreciate all the modification you've given it. And, you know, because you are freeing up your actions, you can use that boost action a lot more. You know, when I build Boba Fett, I usually lean toward the Slave One title, giving me more maneuverability. But that means I'm going to be using my actions for modification a lot more. Whereas now you've freed up your boost action quite a bit.
Yeah, and I like being really aggressive with Boba. Obviously, Boba's ability where you can reroll on offense or defense for each ship at enemy ship at range one, that's huge. It's really powerful, but you really do need to leverage that. So if you get into range two and you've got a bunch of guns pointed your way, you're really going to suffer for that. So this is a Boba that is very aggressive, wants to get into the fight. And I like the complement of the other two ships I've thrown on here, because you've got that Skull Squadron who wants to be aggressive, especially with that fearless talent. But you're not going to come in right away, right? So you bring Boba Fett in really quick, do a bunch of damage, do as much as you can, and then you're following up with your Proton Torpedo, Crimora Goon, and your Fearless Skull Squadron come on behind. So your opponent's not really sure where to focus the attention, right? Like, you want to take Boba down. Boba's a huge threat, but that Skull Squadron and that Crimora Goon are going to do a lot of damage.
Yeah, I mean, and with 2 agility and 2 focuses, lists are going to be hard-pressed to bring down Boba Fett really quickly. So he can live, I think, just long enough for your other ships to become threats, and then Boba can run and start doing what he does best and use that auxiliary firing arc.
And my free Marauder reroll.
That's too much. Well done.
Hey, Radio TCX listeners, time for a quick Patreon update. We've got some changes coming to the Patreon up here, so I wanted to fill you guys in on what's going on. We're going to be updating the prize tiers for the Radio TCX Patreon. So this will be the last month where we're going to have just our normal 4 tiers of prizes, the 1 month, 3 month, 6 month, and 12 month prizes, which were the 3 different types of target locks and the range one ruler. We've been really appreciative of everyone who supported the Patreon. So in honor of that, if you support the Patreon through the end of the month, all of our active patrons at the beginning of next month, when the payments get processed, we will be sending you whatever the next reward tier is. So if you've been supporting us for 2 months, you'll get the 3 month reward. If you've been supporting us for 4 or 5 months, you'll get the 6 month reward. And if you've been supporting us 7 to 11 months, we'll be sending you out the 12 month reward. So if you want to get those rewards, just remain a patron through the end of the month so that payment gets processed at the start of the next month. And then at that point, we're going to be updating the Patreon. We are going to do a whole new selection of prizes, which we'll start announcing here, hopefully in the next couple weeks. So for now, just hold fast. And if you're interested in becoming a patron and you haven't become one before, I'd recommend waiting till the start of next month when we make our big announcements. Again, guys, though, thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon. That's been a huge boon to me and Carson, and it's really made us be able to continue to produce this show week to week, and we're hoping to expand that content even more now that we have a better grasp of what's going on and do more of those live streams and get you more X-Wing content. Thank you guys so much. And now, back to the cast.
All right, now looking at your second list you made here, Tim, I'm noticing a lot of the same upgrade cards, just on a completely different faction.
Yeah, I've clearly got some favorites here for second edition, so I'm kind of betting heavy on these cards. I went for, in this list, a more of a Rebel synergy here. It's been a little while since I've flown Rebels, but back in the day, I really did kind of like the formation flying that Rebels had going on, and then some occasional blocking with some smaller ships. So what I've got in this kind of a lower initiative Rebel synergy, I've got Benthic two tubes in a U-Wing, I've got Edrio two tubes in an X-Wing, a Talus Squadron, and then a Gray Squadron Y-Wing.
Yeah, and we've seen the two-tube brothers both be successful in first edition. And I think, you know, in second edition, where action economy is at much more of a premium, that I think they're going to be even better.
Yeah, both these guys both share names, and they also share some really great synergy. Benthic two tubes in the U-Wing. Whenever you take a focus action, you can actually pass a focus token to a friendly ship at range 1 to 2. And this ability synergizes really well with Edrio's pilot ability over in the X-Wing, where when he activates, if he's already focused, meaning he has a focus token, he can perform a free action. So you get a lot of action economy here when you get Edrio focus tokens before he activates.
Right, and I really like how you set up the list to really benefit from getting this extra action efficiency. You got, of course, your favorite perceptive co-pilot on Benthic two tubes, so that when you take that focus action and pass a focus along to Edrio or one of the other friends, that Benthic still has a focus left for himself. And then I also really like you've included, you know, two copies of proton torpedoes, both on Edrio and on the Gray Squadron bomber. So when you set up these ships with the extra actions, well, now you're going to be able to get target lock and focus for those four attack dice proton torpedo attacks. Second edition has made it a little bit difficult to take both the focus and target lock action. Those usually aren't linked together. So you need to do things like use Benthic two tubes ability, or, you know, use your Talus Squadron with squad leader to coordinate an extra action.
And one of the things I really like so far about squad building in second edition is you don't have to get too crazy complicated with the upgrade configurations. Things are pretty straightforward here. Benthic's just got Perceptive Copilot and the Magva Yaro crew, where when you get hit by an attack, you can get a target lock on the defender. Edrio's pretty straightforward. Servo motor, S-foils, of course. You throw that on pretty much every X-Wing. The R2 Astromech for some regen, which helps with the synergy a little bit, especially if Edrio gets targeted, because he's a pretty big target. Proton torpedoes on Edrio also to get that spike damage and really leverage that action efficiency. Which the other thing I like about Edrio is that when he gets the focus token from Benthic, not only is he getting an action when he activates, he's going to get his normal action as well. So you can do some really cool stuff, like take a lot of barrel rolls for repositioning, or if you've got that servo motor S-foils over onto the boost side, you can actually take the boost action before you move to give you some really cool repositioning options. And since the close side of the S-foils card only limits your primary attack, you can still use your proton torpedoes to their full effect.
Ooh, that's dirty. Go from two attack dice to four. Of course, the Y-Wing's doing that anyway, I guess.
And since you're getting past a focus token anyway, Edrio can still take the focus action. So you could either boost and then link into it if your S-foils are closed, or just take a native focus action, double up there, which will help you on offense and defense.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like with both your lists, I mean, you definitely included Perceptive Copilot because you want that action efficiency. But you've also made sure you include those proton torpedoes. I think you've gotten used to four attack dice and are having a hard time leaving that behind.
It's become such a standard in first edition, you know, it's going to be hard for a lot of us to adjust, you know, it's the real trial here. So I've got protons on that Gray Squadron bomber too, along with an ion cannon turret, which I think is fun when you're flying a formation list like this. If you can start ionizing your opponent, that makes your movement so much easier to do. And the real key here is having proton torpedoes, or two sets of proton torpedoes in this list. You do need, I guess you could call it a gimmick, because all these ships are at initiative two. So they can get out positioned. You really need something that's going to push them over the edge and give you value against ships of higher initiative with repositioning abilities. And having that really high spike damage, all I have to do is get one good turn shooting at a lot of other ships, and I'll be able to take them off the board.
Yeah, I think when everything comes together for this list, it's going to be pretty impressive, its damage output.
But we can't stop talking about it until we talk about squad leader on this Talos Squadron pilot, Carson.
That is a pretty good rate for a coordinate ship.
So squad leader has changed a lot from first edition. It used to be very different. It was, you know, passing a free action onto a ship of a lower initiative. Now it's changed. So squad leader is a talent that gives you a red coordinate action, but it comes with a caveat that while you coordinate, the ship you choose can perform an action only if that action is also on your action bar. So it's not a full coordinate like you'd see with a Lambda class shuttle passing boosts or barrel rolls over to an interceptor. Here, you're limited to just what the action bar on the ship with squad leader can do. But in this list, that's pretty much all the actions available to all the other ships.
Yeah, I mean, you only need them to either get a focus or target lock for that double proton torpedo modification. So that's fine anyway.
And I like the distraction of the Talos Squadron too, where obviously getting that coordinate is very valuable on these other ships. But at the same time, if your opponent really tries to focus in on the Talos Squadron, it's a pretty inexpensive investment compared to the rest of your list, which is what I like to go for in my squad building. I like to divide up the threats across my ships and really make my opponent put all their attention on something that really doesn't deserve all their attention, but could also come back and hit them really hard if they focus try and focus in on Edrio, and Edrio just doesn't take that much damage.
Yeah, and I do also like that the Tala very cheaply provides you some redundancy in that action efficiency that you're passing to your other ships. So if Benthic goes down, you can still set up Edrio with that coordinate provided by the Tala.
Yeah, because Edra really does depend on that ability there to get his action efficiency. Otherwise, he's just a, you know, low initiative X-Wing, which is solid, but is going to go down eventually. Yeah, so that's my Rebel synergy list. Pretty straightforward. Benthic 2 tubes with Magvo Yaro, Perceptive Co-Pilot. Edrio 2 tubes with Proton Torpedoes, S-Foils, and R2 Astromech. A Talos Squadron Z-95 with Squad Leader. And then a Grey Squadron Y-Wing with Proton Torpedoes and Ion Cannon Turret.
All right, and lastly, we have the squad you knew I would build. It's got Paulo Gadali, Asajj Ventress. Unfortunately, not Fen Rao. He's a little too pricey, but we do have Guri in there as my ace.
Yes.
For my scum control list.
Pretty much most of your favorite scum and villainy pilots still doing great in second edition. Some of them have seen some improvements, too. Let's break this down. It's a I really like this list, too, because it's a really simple upgrade loadout. You've got 3 named pilots and a total of 4 upgrades coming in at 199 points.
Yeah, I mean, so I think we should start off with the biggest winner of second edition, Paulo Gadali. You know, just an incredible control ability. And, you know, you could make him super effective with that Moldy Crow title, but it is a pretty expensive title. So I opted to get more points in my other ships and keep a pretty lean Paulob. So I do have the 000 crew giving you an extra either control ability or some modification, little calculate token. I do really like the 000 crew. I think it's a steal for 3 points.
Yeah, and it's really fun. It's a fun dynamic because I played against this when we did that Facebook live stream, and having to make that decision where either you take a stress token if you're at range 1 of the 000 ship, or you let them get that calculate token, which calculate's not a huge modification, but any little bit of modification can really hurt you in the long run. And you're really inclined not to take that stress token because of the Lots Razi over on Asajj.
Right. And I mean, if you give Paulob a calculate token, that's just extra modification that he's going to have to defend himself. Yeah, he's only got 5 hit points, but 2 green dice with whatever green token he is able to steal, plus maybe a calculate token. And he's got the elusive EPT, which I really like on Hawks. Elusive's a really interesting one where you get a defensive reroll of 1 die. And then to recover that charge, you need to do a red maneuver.
And for most ships, that's a, you know, a turnaround maneuver, which you're not going to do that much. But Paulob's got that red stop maneuver, which means you can kind of hold your position, which Paulob might just want to do anyway to get trigger that steal effect that Paulob has. So you might be getting that elusive reroll, you know, every other turn, basically.
Exactly. You have either the stop or those 3 turns are red, which I really like. You know, if you have your mobile arc pointed to either side, and then you're taking turns kind of being like a mini shadow caster, just circling around your opponent, taking their tokens, getting your defensive rerolls. Sounds like a pretty powerful control ship for just 44 points. It doesn't matter that he only has two attack dice. Polyb was never about contributing offensive power. It was about disrupting your opponent. And the longer you can keep him alive, the more that disruption persists.
Well, and I mean, even in second edition, though, his attack power has literally doubled. So, I mean, that's a pretty big step up.
Right. I don't even have to pay for Dorsal Turret.
I also like Polyb in second edition as well, because you have that native red boost now. And this Polyb build actually kind of encourages using that boost to try and get in close to your opponent so you can trigger not only Polyb's effect, but also Triple Zero's ability. Stack up some tokens, ruin some of your opponent's action efficiency by stealing their tokens, and then you still got Guri and Asajj there to back you up and deal out some damage.
Right, and I really like Polyb in second edition, not just because the Hawk chassis got improved so much, but also, you know, green tokens are really valuable. You have very limited defensive modification, and so just taking away one is, I think, really huge. And then, of course, you pair that with Asajj Ventress, who has that pilot ability of, you know, in her mobile arc, your opponent can choose, are they giving up a green token or taking a stress token, which is another great dilemma.
Yeah, and it's a little easier to work around in second edition than Asajj's ability in first edition, where you just had to take that stress token, which could be really devastating here. But even now, the decision's hard, because you really don't want to drop your green tokens. They're hard enough to get in second edition. And Asajj is a really strong platform, even still in second edition. You've still got the two force charges, which is incredible modification. And you only have to use one of those to trigger the stress effect. So you'll always hopefully have at least one other one as an option to spend. But still just a strong platform. 10 hit points, a primary value of 3, a mobile value of 2. You've got a lot of options here with Asajj.
Absolutely. And, you know, usually the common play against Polyb is to not take green tokens, because you don't want to give that to Polyb. But if you're not taking green tokens, then Asajj is free to stress you, which sounds great.
And then you're definitely not doing any damage because of that Lots Razi crew, which is basically unchanged from first edition. If you're being attacked and the attacker has a stress token, you can choose to remove that stress token to change one of your die results into an evade result.
Right, and I really think that linked actions are going to be really popular, which I think with both the Triple Zero effect and Asajj Ventress's pilot ability would really capitalize on punishing people for taking those linked actions, which I think is great. Just some really good control effects. But then you do still need a ship to deal some damage and close the game out, and that's where Guri comes in with just the Predator upgrade card. I really like the Star Viper's linked action spread, and I think it really doesn't need much more upgrades, kind of like how the Fangs really just need Fearless. I think Predator works pretty well with that Star Viper barrel roll, being able to set up that bullseye arc.
Yeah, and Guri's seen some improvements and a slight nerf in second edition, but it's really got a unique feel now. Guri's in at initiative 5, which in second edition is a higher initiative than even Prince Xizor, who had the highest initiative of Star Viper back in the
first
edition of the game.
Yeah, it's crazy. Guri went from pilot skill 5 to initiative 5. That's quite an improvement.
Now, one minor handicap here is, since Guri is a droid, instead of the focus action, Guri has access to the calculate action, and then both of it, the repositioning actions, they're also linked into a calculate, which a single calculate token is worse than a focus token, but Guri compensates for that with the very familiar ability at the start of the engagement phase. If there is at least one enemy ship at range 0 to 1, you may gain one focus token. So if you're able to get that focus token from Guri's pilot ability, suddenly her damage output is a lot better, and having both a focus and a coordinate is better than having just one of either of those tokens, obviously.
Absolutely. And, you know, while her ability and access to those linked actions giving her calculate tokens pretty easily while still dodging arc does boost her damage output quite a bit, I think I like that benefit on defense a lot more. Just having all those green tokens backed up by 3 agility. You know, when you have just kind of one good closing ship, you really want to make sure you keep it alive as long as possible. And your opponent's not going to have too much modification to throw back at Guri with Asajj and Polyb disrupting him.
And I think at the core of what makes Guri your heavy hitter here is you have the ability both to get focus or calculate modification in addition to a reroll from Predator, if you can line up that bullseye firing arc. And that's really where you're going to get the consistency from your damage here. And I think, you know, all these ships in combination are going to work really well. You've got a lot of stress control effects here. This is probably the best list you've come up with so far, I think.
Okay, thanks.
So there you have it, guys. Four lists for second edition here. We're hoping to get these out on the tables here pretty soon. We want to hear your list building, though. If you've seen these point lists and you've come up with some lists, please share them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/RadioTCX. We want to know what you guys are building.
Yeah, I really like the trend so far of, you know, having more pilots and fewer upgrades. I think that looks really nice, and I think it makes list building pretty interesting.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy listening to the show, please go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review, along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and what other people would be interested in listening. We really appreciate all the reviews people have left. And if you left your review a little while ago, you can actually go on there and update your review to let people know that you're still enjoying the show and that they should still listen. And you can let them know why you like the show now.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx. and become a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us. And thank you to everyone who supported the show so far.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. It's a trap!